What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Squanch, Wisecrack's Rick and Morty podcast.
Whoa.
I know we're here.
It's been a while, dude.
So I'm Michael Burns, joined by some Squanchers. We got Ryan Haley.
Wubba lubba welcome, everyone, to a new season.
You love to hear it.
Rick and Morty.
And then Squanch Master Supreme, Tommy Cook. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. I mean, this is what happens when the show airs like every like 2 years or a year and a half.
For the next 75 years, right?
For the next 75 years, yeah, like 80 more
episodes. That's the sad part about being a Squancher, you know? You were dependent on this show to be together, to commune together, to talk about this. So much of our life is in Harmon and Royland's hands. But we're here because we got a new season. Season 5 is about to start. It's really happening. We've been through a hell of a year, and I think we deserve this. So before we start breaking down all the episodes, which we'll be doing every Sunday, we just wanted to sort of get together, talk about what came before, talk about what's to come, riff a little bit about what we're excited about, and get everyone ready for the season. So just to get started, I just want to ask you all two questions. We'll go one at a time, and we'll dig into this more later. Now that kind of the smoke is cleared, you had some time, about a year to think about it. What are our thoughts on season 4? Looking back, how do we feel about season 4? Tommy, you can go first.
I mean, overall, I think it's a good season. Is it the best season of Rick and Morty? Probably not. I had a, like, preparing for this podcast, I had a harder time remembering, like, the signature moment of this fourth season. I couldn't, like, pinpoint a, you know, an interdimensional, you know, episode, or, you know, a Rick Potion number 9 or Love Potion number 9. I couldn't, like, pinpoint, like, the episode that I loved above all the others for this season. But the overall, I still enjoyed it.
Okay. It's good overall enjoyment. Ryan, how about you? What are our current thoughts on season 4 of Rick and Morty?
My thoughts is overall, I think it's a little dip in quality, guys, compared to the just primo batting 1,000 of what I consider the first two seasons. You know, and obviously, I can't fault them for not living up to that. What they're only mortals, right? And I liked what they were going for some of it. I thought, yeah, I, you know, who am I to say what they should be doing? I want them to surprise me, obviously. And I would love for them to, like, kind of reinvent the wheel of Rick and Morty in this season. Mm-hmm. And kind of, and while also bringing us back to basics and giving us the good old laughs. So I don't know what I want. I'm the fan that they're making fun of a lot in the show, where they're like, "Shut the fuck up! You don't tell us what to do. You enjoy the ride that we give you." So yeah, but in terms of how much I laughed compared to other seasons, fourth season was probably my low point. But that doesn't mean that compared to other shows, that it's not the best thing out there.
I wonder how much of this is just a natural sort of arc. Like, when a show first premieres, it is like so fresh, and it is like it's Rick and Morty was like totally new, and now we're like 4 seasons in, and we're sort of familiar with sort of the patterns of the show and like the structure of the show and the joke structure of the show, and so it just naturally it doesn't feel as fresh. It's a sort of a catch 20. I don't know how to make it better, I guess.
See, I would disagree with that. I've thought about that. I thought, oh, maybe it's just my rose-colored glasses of the first two seasons. But at least for those first seasons, I had so much fun. We kind of would talk about this on the show. Mm-hmm. You have so much fun just showing your friends Rick and Morty, right? Like, oh, man, we're going to watch the first season, because you know it's like a guaranteed laugh a minute cartoon where you can throw in almost any episode, but you know there's a whole handful where you're like, every one of these is kind of a classic. And when I look back at the fourth season, there are about 3 or 4 where I'm like, all right, yeah, these are guaranteed funny. If I put them on with people that don't even know Rick and Morty, they would laugh and get it and think it was fun. Whereas, but more than half the season, I don't agree with that. I think it was kind of too in the know Rick and Morty land, and too kind of wordy and ideas first, but not thinking about the jokes, you know, bringing them as fast as they were. That's kind of my big critique of this later episode.
Yeah. I mean, I just went and skimmed through most of season 4 today. And yeah, that was my thought. I think I've rewatched seasons 1 and 2 so many times. I'm excited to do it again, even like getting ready for this season to start. Season 4, a lot of those episodes I'm not super psyched to go back to. I like them. I enjoyed them. I've had fun watching them, fun talking about them. I think there's a lot of good stuff there. I think it got a little caught up in the meta-ness, got a little caught up in, like, you know, the writers of the show wanting us to experience their commentary as the writers of the show to us. And it was so aware in that way. At times I liked it. At times it was like, okay, let's just do a show, please. But yeah. I'm still optimistic, and I'm thinking of comps for shows that hit real hard to where every episode was incredible and had longevity for whatever reason. Right now, I'm thinking that I hope that Rick and Morty turns out like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I'll say why, because that's a show that first season when that came out, whenever that was, like 30 years ago now, it really felt like a holy shit, how is this on TV moment. It was so funny, so new, so dark, but it's managed to stay relatively funny because the show has sort of dipped and evolved and brought in new talent and like refigured out what its voice meant in certain context. And I know that this season, I'm pretty sure it's like the biggest amount, or like the biggest writer turnover we've ever had in Rick and Morty. They brought a lot of new people on. A lot of people who their first season on it. One in particular, I'm very excited that Heather Ann Campbell is writing for it, who I think is one of the funniest humans on God's green earth. So I'm very curious to see what the tone of the show is going to be. I hope it moves away from the meta-ness. So I wonder this, and this is a continuation of the first question. What is your attitude then going into season 5? How are you feeling about? Are you like excited that it's coming back? Are you hesitant because you're worried it might not be as good? Okay, so Ryan, you're just hell yeah, all in, let's go.
I mean, these guys I trust so much, Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon, that yeah, like even when they fail, it's fun. And then they're very creative people. That yeah, it's not like, oh shit, they've lost it. I this is gonna suck and be a drag. Like no, they're hilarious people. And I'm blessed to have a cartoon coming from them every week for the next month or so. But also, I'm glad you brought up It's Always Sunny, because I think that the reason that show works is not only because the humor is so great, but it comes from these characters you know and love. You love these people, and you want to see you actually like are invested and want to see what they do. Whereas, I mean, I guess I'm describing every TV show, but that is why It's Always Sunny prevails, whereas it's like those characters are so dynamic and fun to watch in any situation. Whereas I think that really goes to Rick and Morty too. Even when the episodes that I'm not loving of Rick and Morty, it's like you know where every character is coming from to such a degree because they're so well developed and written into the show that I want to see what they do all the time.
Anyway, okay, so Ryan thinks he's going to be blessed, that we're all going to be blessed with this. Tommy, what is your spiritual position towards the encroaching season 5?
I'm excited for it. I mean, here's the thing. Like you brought up It's Always Sunny, and the difference to me is that, you know, on sort of live action TV shows, you're watching the actors age, and you're watching them change in real time. And there's a passage of time to just any show, and that's kind of verboten in animation. Really, the characters never age. Because it's anime, they don't have to. And so, I mean, like The Simpsons. Even like Family Guy, South Park. I mean, they great. I think they went from age 8 to 10. But realistically, no one ages and no one changes. And I wonder if like that is a little bit of that's a little bit of my issue, I guess, with season 4. Is that it felt very same. It felt a little treading water. The dynamics all felt the same as they were a little bit in seasons 1 through 3. And I wonder if like if that's an issue that the people aren't changing on the show, that the characters aren't growing, and that sort of leaving people wanting more potentially.
Yeah, and that is like a Dan Harmony thing as well, this issue of characters that change or precisely don't change. We recently did a video on Wisecrack that mostly dealt with Community, but was analyzing Harmon for this reason, asking the question like, do his characters develop less than characters in other shows, and are there potential problems with that? Is it a good thing? And I'll say this related to that. Well, Tommy, you have something. Go ahead.
Well, do you feel like the Joe McHale? Because I feel like the Joe McHale character does change on Community.
I do. I was a little bit convinced by our wonderful writer Robin's take on Harmon having these characters that don't change, but I think they change in realistic ways. They change in a way that seems like one or two steps from where they started, but not like, you know, to compare to something like The Office, where Jim goes from like arch slacker to like tech bro titan running a new sports marketing company or something like that. which I don't like because I like Slackers better. well, before we get into it, I was going to make Ryan try to recap the entire season in like 30 seconds or 2 minutes, which is mean. That's mean, and I should never do that.
Yeah, how dare
Ryan you. Said he'd come to my house and slap me if I made him do it, and I took him seriously. So I'll just say this then. With season 4, if you're listening to this, you watch season 4. You're probably rewatching it or like reading the Wikipedia summaries to get ready for season 5. I'll say this. I'll talk about where they left us. I think the end of season 4 was interesting because when we talk about character growth, we had some hints. And if it was any other show, I would think this would mean something here. I'm not sure. But we, of course, had, you know, the end of season 4, we have Beth and her clone together kind of saying, fuck you, dad. We have Summer and Morty working together a little bit, throwing some Wranglers in a nuclear reactor, saving the planet, you know? Jerry is like done some stuff, you know? He used a dead girl puppet to save the day. He's grown a little bit as a guy. And then we have Rick, who's alone in the garage. The last shot we have in season 4 is him looking down like he does not want to live. And we've seen that before. We've seen episodes end with that. And in season 4, if there is any emotional arc with Rick, I think we see it in, I think, episode 2 and episode 10. Episode 2, the Shy Pooper episode, where by the end, you know, he's sitting on a toilet being mocked by a thing he rigged to make fun of his friend Tony, who died living his truth. So we see this like depressed, dark, I have no friends Rick moment. The season ends with Bird Person or his remnants on a wall, I guess Phoenix Person at that point, trying to kill Rick, so he has to turn him off. So they leave us with something. Do we think any of this gets picked up?
I think they're kind of setting Rick up for a nice little redemption arc, you know? Like, he's kind of, you don't think so?
I don't know. I like it. I hope that happens.
I wonder what the show is with Rick and a redemption arc. Like, the whole, I think the premise of the show is Rick's a dick. So I don't,
I mean, I, but he's at his lowest. He knows how, like, how his actions have driven him from his family, you know, the only people that love him or that he loves in the whole universe, you know, supposedly he has any amount of love in his heart, but we're left. I feel like why end the season with that big kind of like, all right, I've fucked up kind of moment. If he's just going to go back to being like, well, I fucked up, so fuck it. Which he's done in the past, which would be
to in me, character. That's it. Yeah.
But what
yeah.
a bad,
yeah, I mean, to yeah. Michael's,
I'm thinking like, what do bad people do? What, you know, cause in the show it's funny cause it's a cartoon, but in real life, if you know, a fucked up narcissist alcoholic, they might have a low moment. They're probably not changing. So, you know, there is a world where I can see that. There is a world where I can see what you're talking about, Ryan, some redemption arc that only sets him up to fall so much more and disappoint everyone.
By redemption arc, yeah, I mean, like, he's obviously in it for himself. Yeah. So it's like he's trying to help. I can see him trying to be the good guy all of a sudden, and but then very self in the most selfish way possible, right? And also being manipulative and not caring who he hurts in the process, but just trying to find his love with his family more. Tommy, you disagree?
I mean, to Michael's point, I mean, we've seen Rick have this moment before he's like laid low and you're like, oh my God, this sad sack, maybe he's going to learn his lesson. And then you come back the next episode and he's basically the same. If there's going to be a redemption arc, maybe it's one episode, would be my guess. And then he's back to his usual shtick.
Okay, and what do we think for the rest of the Sanchez family? Can we see anyone else having any sustaining character growth or change from that carries over from the end of 4 into 5?
Jerry?
I
want Jerry to kind of like do the like, what was the guy, who did Urkel become? Was it like Stefan or...
Yeah.
When Urkel got cool, I kind of want that. Like, I want the moment.
A nerdy professor moment.
Yeah, where Jerry has his like Urkel becoming cool moment. Once again, only to collapse like really badly, but that'd be kind of fun.
He does end it as a vigilante, remember?
Yes. I mean, he's on a cool path. So, okay. So we have some hope that maybe some of this growth happens. So let's do this to kind of get our brains ready for the new season. I'm curious what y'all think about this. What were some of the moments from season 4 that you did just fucking love? Your favorite, you know, gags, favorite episodes, favorite scenes, favorite character arcs. And Ryan, we'll start with you. What stands out to you when you think back on 4?
So can I do the opposite of that? Can I tell you a lot?
Should we start low and go high? Should we do our
yeah,
our, okay, let's maybe. Start that way. Let's yeah. build up. Or scratch that. Low moments here. Of season four.
Yeah. And the low moments, when I see these, the old man in the seat, I remember being a particularly, like, that was the second episode. So you're like, you know, the first episode is pretty good. But then the second episode, I was just kind of like, oh, shit, is this what we're about to get for the whole season? And I know some people love that episode. I think Jared Bauer particularly loves
that episode. I love that episode.
It's my favorite episode of the season.
There you go. All right. We got differing opinions already. But I'm just kind of like, just the premise of the episode, I was just kind of like, was this such a one-note joke for me? All right, he's going to go through hell on earth to go to have the perfect alone toilet. I guess that's funny, you know, but I don't know. Like, to me, it was just such a one note joke for an episode. Same with the vat of acid episode. As much as I like the kind of one location stuff, that was probably another low point for me. I just didn't laugh that much. I know some people like the vat of acid episode. Tommy, you disagree with me again.
Second favorite episode.
All right,
this is great. So we'll talk about these now. And in the next segment, the two of us can talk about how we love those episodes. You know, we get all the perspectives here. Why do you
love these two episodes, Tommy? Let's start for the high point for you then.
So, well any other low moments, Ryan, or those are the ones that you're just like.
Those are the two that kind of jump out at me. But then there was others then there's a lot of just kind of blah moments. But those are probably my two least favorite of the season.
Okay. We'll stay negative for a second before we then loop back and try to subvert everything you said. Tommy, what's stuff that you think didn't hit as well in season four?
It was less, there was no like specific episode for me that didn't hit. It was more just sort of a general feeling, a general familiarity and sort of here's the thing. Like, last year was so weird. We were like stuck in our homes, you know, things were so negative, and the cynicism of the show sometimes sort of had a negative impact on me. And I don't know how much of it is myself versus the show, but like after a while, like watching Rick be mean to Morty and like Morty getting like one up over and over again, the cynicism of it sort of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, particularly towards sort of the latter half of the season. The episodes I still found funny and clever, but I would say that I ended up thinking it was more clever than laugh out loud funny a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to add one more, which is the train one, the never Ricking Morty.
Okay, now we agree. I agree with you on that. That's what I was about to say. I think for many reasons, and I rewatched that episode today, just a variety of reasons I don't love that episode. Some of them doing with, and it's very self-aware. We get a visual representation of Harmon's story circle as a control thing at one point. Very meta in how it sort of speaks to the fans about their expectations. I get how that sounded like a fun idea to the writers of the show, but speaking of episodes that you would never want to go back to, that's just not one you'd ever want to rewatch.
Right.
It's too conceptual. There's no emotional linchpin to the show, to that episode. It's all super meta, dealing with story structure, particularly Dan Harmon's circular story structure, sort of, and fan expectation, which isn't particularly emotional. It's just all sort of ideological, and that's
the only surprising moment. It's hard to latch onto. Yeah, the one surprising moment from that episode, which I had today, was it references the pandemic at the end. We've been in this so long, I forgot that it aired during that. But at one point, you know, Rick like literally says something like, oh, everyone's inside because of the virus. No one's buying shit anymore. At the end when they have a little consumerism thing. But and even that, like, it didn't land for me. Like, I get what you're doing. You're trying to go back to consumerism. Although I did like that.
Did you try to buy the train?
I wanted to buy a train.
Yeah, of course. I wanted to buy the train.
Yeah.
Too.
They were right. And I think, you know, they use Jesus in a weird way. We'll see if Jesus comes back in season five. If Christ gets his revenge on Rick once and for all.
I've heard he returns sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Now we can be positive. And Ryan, we'll let you start with this again. What did you like? What are the episodes or the moments that you actually enjoyed?
I think the high point was the middle of the season for me. Rattlestar, Rick Lactica. Mm-hmm. Just the snakes. For some reason, they're snakes. Are just so funny to me. It's like when they do snakes, like in the way they do the voices, and just getting in the whole world with the snakes was a world I would like to.
I love snake jazz. I think about it often.
Yeah, the snake jazz is great. And then I really loved the final episode, Star Mort Rickturn of the Jerry. it's a mouthful, but yeah, like I thought that they ended they wrapped it up with a good episode. The last two, which is were good, but I don't know. But my high point, Rattlestar Ricklactica. What about y'all,
Tommy? How about you? I think I know some of these. You hinted us off, but well, yeah. So what are some of the moments? Yeah,
I sort of teed this up. I was going over like what were my favorite moments, and they all sort of fit into sort of one sort of lumping category where when the show takes sort of absurd premises and then grounds them in sort of emotional sort of character and delving into sort of what makes these characters tick. Those were the moments that sort of spoke to me the most. So like the Bad Acid episode, the montage of Morty's sort of doomed romance is just, and it's starting out with like, because we know it's going to go bad. We know he's going to go back to the checkpoint at some point to fuck this up. And the absurdity of it becoming sort of a riff on Alive and his refusal to touch this reset button because he's so invested in this relationship is a new dimension to Morty. And I really love that part. Similarly, I love the Death Crystal Morty subplot from the premiere opening, where he's so intent on being with Jessica when he dies that he will do anything, even if that means becoming Akira, basically, and turns into a whole Akira riff. So, and then my favorite moment, which Ryan hates, is the old man in the seat, where Rick is obsessed with solving who has, you know, besmirched his planet of the toilet, and it leads to this, and it goes through all this crazy stuff where there's like a robot war, and there's like a diner that's run by frogs with a fucking fly as the leader. But it all, like all this absurdity, ultimately goes to this sort of need for friendship that Rick sort of desperately wants, even if he won't admit it to himself. And those moments, that the grounding of the absurdity with this sort of emotional sort of linchpin was the stuff I gravitated to.
Wow. This is easy. I don't have to say that much then. I hate that this is the case. I wish we had three completely opposed positions, but I kind of agree with Tommy on most of this. Like my favorite two episodes, I think, are the Shy Pooping one and the Death Crystals. And I think, you know, we if anyone wants to like, you know, hear a take on this, we did a video about 2 months ago at Wisecrack on the theme of death in season 4. And I think they did some interesting stuff with that in the Shy Pooper episode, looking at the way in which this fear of death or this desire for control is like holding Rick back, why ultimately he is just a lonely sack. And it was interesting to see him kind of become friends with this guy, Tony, and like talk to his dad after he died. Like there's some moments there. And I was like, wow, I found this funny, but it made me think, made me feel some shit. Similar thing with the Death Crystals episode. Maybe it's a little played out to have this idea that if you're worried about death, you're not living, but I think there's something to it. And I think they fleshed it out in an interesting way. And as well, like, yeah, the montage of Morty's Alive scenario, you know, as he tries to stab himself in the chest after his girlfriend pukes from trying to eat human meat. You know, the moment where he doesn't hit the go back button, or the, you know, is interesting. So I did like those. I will agree, though, with Ryan on the last episode. I think they did some good stuff there. And I think there were some moments. One of the moments I found funniest is Jerry using a dead body as a puppet to negotiate with Bird Person. I found that very funny.
It's one of the few moments where Jerry actually saves the day, sort of.
Yeah.
It's like he's actually useful.
So I
do like that.
The fact that they made him save the day that way, too, was just so brutal and dark, and I loved it. So now that we don't agree on a bunch of stuff. So we'll get this train to the station pretty soon. Let's end on this. Let's have this be the penultimate thing we talk about. Any predictions for season 5? Anything you think is going to happen, needs to happen, should happen, if you had to throw some ideas at the wall, and along with that, it can't just be things you think will happen. What would you love to see happen? Any weird ideas, any pitches for episodes that we could see in season 5?
Well, I thought of like, what's the next meta step for Rick and Morty? Like, what do they do? Like they've done basically every sort of genre under the sun. So my thought was, I don't think Rick and Morty has done a meta episode about itself. Like, what is the meta episode about Rick and Morty? Here's this cult show that started out as, like, the cult show, the big, and like every sort of show, like, the cult show starts out with just a few people liking it, and it's this, like, this thing that sort of builds word of mouth until it becomes a mainstream success. And now Rick and Morty is like, there's commercials with Rick and Morty. They're selling Pringles. Yeah. There's Super Bowl ads. Like, what happens when you become, you know, the mainstream? And I would like to see them sort of tackle this sort of meta aspect of it. I also sense that there is a slight backlash towards the show that is sort of growing, slight discontent towards it that I've begun to notice. And I think that's sort of the cycle of any show where, like, you know, look at South Park. Starts out, super cult show, becomes a mainstream success to the point where there are advertisements and there's a movie. And then the detractors come out and they're like, I hate this show. And anyone who likes it is stupid and awful. And the flame wars begin. And I feel like we are on the precipice of the Rick and Morty flame wars. I think it's become slightly too popular. And I wonder if the show can address this sort of the cycle of a television show, of a cult hit, that naturally develops.
That's a lot to tackle, but I let's see if they do it. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Ryan, what do you
look? You have a planet that just watches the adventures of Rick and Morty throughout this entire show, and it starts out where it's just a couple people, and then it's a whole worldwide thing, and then eventually they all turn against them. They're like, you know, it's the first two seasons. The earlier adventures were better than the latter adventures.
That'd be pretty good.
A little too familiar.
The show within a show would be a good a meta angle they could take.
Yeah. Ryan, how about you? What would you like to see, or what do you think we might see in season 5?
Well, I was looking at the trailer here to see if I can get any clue. Ooh, Sherlock style.
He does the research. That's great.
And what it looks like, and what I kind of hope and what would be cool is, and this sounds basic, but just family adventures. Like the whole gang going on one big adventure together a lot of times, and maybe with a couple, you know, multi-episode story arcs in there or something. But I think that getting the whole, it's always fun when the whole family's together, working together or something. Or
yeah, I would love some of that family vacation, National Lampoon energy in seeing some family adventures. Like that would truly be kind of fun. You know, maybe they go real meta and somehow Harmon convinces Chevy Chase to do a voice for a second, which would never happen in probably a million years. But no, I like that idea a lot.
They could go meta and do like the Looney Tunes hand drawing thing, you know, where Dan Harmon's hand literally comes into the frame and is erasing Rick and Morty and stuff. And
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, the one thing I do expect, for there to be some level of surprise or novelty brought in by the new staff. They publicized it pretty well. They just brought on a bunch of new writers and a lot of younger writers as well. So I think there's a good chance that people might take some swings. It seems like Harmon and Roland are kind of like giving some space for some new voices to make stuff happen. So I think it could be bad, could be good, and something's going to happen there. What I would love to see.
I think I would say that is a bad sign. If I'm going to be truly honest, like, right?
I think it's a good intention. I do think that like Harmon seems like he like wants to be on like the right side of history or to be like a good guy. A lot of the new writers they brought in are diverse. That they're not the same from the same demographics as a lot of the writers they had before. So I know I think he's trying to do some good. Who knows how it turns out?
I mean, all I'm saying is, you know, you got to work. You got a winning show that everyone loves, and then you're like, huh? You know how we make this better? We fire our writing staff.
Well, Harmon has his NFT show to make now. When you're making an NFT show that takes place in a Greek setting for Fox, you can't always be in that room as well, you know.
Well, that's the thing is like I hope that you know they're actually curating these writers and stuff and being particular about it, but the cynical part of me is saying like, all right, I can see Dan Harmon, Justin Roiland going like, all right, we made $1 billion off this. This is a machine now. We have 70 seasons ago. This is a golden goose that we can print. And yeah, we'll look good doing it by hiring people. But at the same time, they better fucking be in the writer's room with them every day telling them this is how you make Rick and Morty and not just going, all right, my underlings, you guys go and make Rick and Morty now. We're going to go enjoy our golden castle that we bought with the lunch boxes we sold off this show. I'm just saying. I hope that's not it either.
Hey, you might be right. So my only like real, not real prediction, something I'd love to see. I would love to see an episode from the perspective of someone else, where the A story is like from Summer's perspective, or you know, from. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say Summer. I meant Jessica. From Jessica's perspective, from a neighbor, from someone else, and where the Sanchezes are like the B or the C plot. And we get to see, like, what do they look like? How are they perceived by the larger world around them? And I think that could be a kind of fun way to get it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that was my other pitch for an episode. Was that, you know, how comedies nowadays are doing the no joke episode. If you watch Mythic Quest, they do like they have a tragic episode every season. And a lot of shows are doing this. Atlanta does this. I would love to see the Rick and Morty version of this where, as you were pitching, like you focus on their neighbor, their poor, and you just follow their tragic, what is it like to live next to this horrific family that does all this crazy stuff next door. And I love it if we played serious. I'd love to see the serious Rick and Morty's interpretation of the laughless episode.
Their lives are just devastated. There's an episode of Always Sunny that does that well, when Frank works with another group to try to open a bar and just devastates their lives, and it's just like not funny. Like their dreams get ruined, and then when everything is over, Frank's like, oh, this is boring. I'm gonna go back to the bar. So you see like the real devastation rotting others' lives. So I don't know. I would like that. A shift in perspective that really puts things in a different frame.
Let me get this straight, Tommy. My big complaint with the last season was not enough jokes. And you want to literally suck every joke out of an entire episode.
Just for one episode. All right. I like to see their version of it. I mean, they can poke fun at it, because I feel like this is now the tradition that the episodes that critics sort of love or the comedies they love are the comedies without any jokes. So I'd love to see this sort of interpretation of the laughless episode.
They should do that, and it should be the Mr. Poopy Butthole episode where it's just
him.
I could go for that.
His sad life.
Wow. Well, some of these predictions, something's bound to happen. So I'm very excited to, you know, this is recorded. This isn't, I know, in case you thought we were just hanging out, this is a real thing. This is a podcast. We can return to this and see if any of these play out and feel really smart or impressive if any of us were right, and then make fun of each other if we were wrong. But what would also be fun as we move into this new season of the Squanch, Squanchers, I want to know what your predictions are. We'd love to hear what you think is going to happen in season 5, what you want to see happen, any final thoughts from season 4, and you could let us know that by getting in touch. So you can email us at squanch@wisecrack.co. There is no M. There's no wisecrack.com. Don't send things there. squanch@wisecrack.co. Or you can give us a call at 213-534-8807. And we'd love to hear from you soon so we can talk about this in our episode 1 episode of the Squanch. So there'll still be some time to do some predictions there. So get in touch with us. We'll talk about it. We're definitely going to do some sort of end of season wrap up episode where we will return to all of these predictions. We'll make sure Tommy's here to account for himself or speak for his sins if we do get the dramatic episode that makes Ryan punch a hole in his wall and then come over and slap me for whatever reason.
Fucking real.
Yeah. So I think that's all. Any final thoughts before we head into season 5 from either of you?
I'm super excited for it. I actually hope that we see more of the Beth Jerry relationship. I would love to see. I don't feel like that relationship was served very well in or that much, I should say, in season 4. So I'd love to see sort of the continuation of the most dysfunctional marriage, I think, on television.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. Ryan, final thoughts from you.
I just want to laugh my ass off. That's what I expect, and I know they're going to deliver, and also make me think, you know.
I love thinking.
That's what they do good too.
I love thinking. I love feeling. I love laughing. Well, awesome.
I love the feel too. Yeah.
Well, guys, if people want to get in touch with you or just see your takes at a place that is not this podcast, where can they find you on social media? Ryan, where can people find you, your work, your voice, your style, your soul?
At Ryan's Game Show on Twitter, at Ryan Shorts on YouTube.
Awesome.
All those.
Tommy, is there anywhere people can find you, stalk you? Yeah, you'd be weird.
Yeah, you can stalk me on Twitter at TC4949 and then yell at me about my horrific takes on the show.
Awesome. And you can harass me at Michael O'Burns on Twitter and Instagram. see us there. So that is all. We will be back after the first episode. We're actually going to do a live stream, I think on the East Coast time after the first episode airs. But don't quote me on that. Time zone might be different. So we'll be back. We're very excited about the season. Ryan and I will be here every week. Tommy will be back at some point. We'll have some other really great guests. So thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For having us.
Yeah. Ryan, do you need to yell a thing?
Dub dub. Wubba lubba dub dub from Hollywood, California. This has been the Squatch.
Wow. That's what you got to hear. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you soon, Squatchers. Let's have a good season 5.